Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Good morning, brothers and sisters, or good afternoon or good evening, wherever you are. I've just been very, very struck recently by the words that Mary spoke to Juan Diego at Guadalupe way back in 1531. You know the outline of the story, I'm sure. The Spanish conquistadores came to Mexico and conquered the Aztecs. And the Aztecs had a bloody, awful religion. They were sacrificing people, cutting out their hearts to their demonic gods. And the Franciscan friars that came with the soldiers weren't making much headway. Some people had been converted, some people had been baptized, including a peasant named Juan Diego. And one day, Juan Diego was walking along the trails near his house when he encountered a beautiful lady. That's normally how people describe Mary when they meet her for the first time and don't know who she is. That's how the children of Fatima described her for months before Mary unveiled to them her true and full identity. So Juan Diego runs into this beautiful lady, and this is how she speaks to him. Juanito, dearest Juan Diego. Listen, Juan, my dearest and youngest son, where are you going? And then, you know, Juan Diego is concerned about his uncle dying and talks to Mary about it. And then Mary talks to him some more and says, you know for sure, my dearest, littlest, and youngest son. And what I want you to kind of get is the tender, personal, kind love that Mary has for her little Juan. Now, little Juan wasn't little. He was a full-grown man. But the affectionate way in which Mary is speaking to him, we should really think about how she also looks at us in the same kind of way. It's particularly something in a few minutes I'm going to tell you about. I am the perfect and ever-virgin Holy Mary, Mother of the God of truth, through whom everything lives, the Lord of all things near us, the Lord of heaven and earth. I want very much to have a little house built here for me in which I will show forth him. I will exalt him and make him manifest. I will give him to the people in all my personal love, in my compassion, in my help, in my protection, because I am truly your merciful mother. So Mary wants these people to find Jesus. Mary wants to be an instrument of evangelization, a mediator, so to speak, of Jesus. She wants people to meet Jesus here and know God's love here. I am truly your merciful mother, yours and all the people who live united in this land, and of all the other people of different ancestries who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me. Here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings. You know, if you've ever been to Guadalupe near Mexico City, you see thousands of poor people from all over the country on their knees, doing acts of penance, pleading with Mary, interceding with her for the power and love of God to come into their lives and the lives of their sons and daughters and people who are sick, people who are dying, people who don't have jobs, just all the sorrow of the human race being poured out to our Heavenly Mother, who wants nothing more than to bring people to the love of Jesus. and to bring about what my compassionate and merciful concern is trying to achieve, you must go to the residence of the Bishop of Mexico and tell him that I sent you here to show him how strongly I wish him to build me a chapel here on the plain. You'll report to him exactly all you have seen, admired, and what you've heard. Know for sure, I will appreciate it very much. Be grateful and will reward you. And you'll deserve very much the reward I will give you for your fatigue, the work and trouble that my mission will cause you. Now, my dearest son, you have heard my voice, my word. Go now and put forth your best effort. This is kind of amazing to me. Mary understands how it's going to be a lot of trouble for Juan Diego to carry out her mission, her message. And then she says, I'm going to give you a reward and you're going to deserve it. Now, a lot of times we think that it's beneath our dignity to look forward to a reward for faithfully serving the Lord through difficulty and hardship our whole life. But Jesus himself tells us our reward's going to be great. So I want you to know that Mary, just like she appreciated the effort of Juan Diego in carrying out God's will in his life, so she also appreciates our effort in carrying out God's will in our life, and that there's going to be a reward, and that it's good to look forward to that. In fact, in the first letter of Peter, it says, put all your hope on the gift that's coming to you when Christ Jesus appears. What's the gift? The gift is glory. The gift is eternal life. The gift is resurrection from the dead. The gift is no more weeping, no more sorrow, no more tears. No more of the agony of the human race expressed as people walk on their knees to the shrine of Guadalupe. Now, Mary goes on to say, listen to me, my youngest and dearest son. Know for sure that I do not lack servants and messengers to whom I can give the task of carrying out my words, who will carry out my will. But it is very necessary that you plead my cause, and with your help and through your mediation, that my will be fulfilled. So Mary's saying, look, there's lots of people who could do this, but I want you to do this. It's important that you do this, because quite honestly, every time Mary appears, who she appears to is part of the message. She appears to little ones. She appears to ones who don't think they're worthy of being addressed by heaven and not even capable of carrying out heaven's will. You know, the children at Fatima, the three peasant children there, Lucia being beat by her mother because her mother couldn't believe that heaven would ever have anything to do with their family, or Bernadette at Lourdes, a poor girl who couldn't read or write. In fact, I would say that with Juan Diego, with the children of Fatima, and with Bernadette at Lourdes, I think they're all illiterate. I think they all had very minimal education, and Mary's purposely choosing them. So she's saying to Juan Diego, lots of people could do this, but I want you to do it. And that's true in our lives too. There's a particular mission. There's a particular call. There's a particular purpose for which we've been created that the Lord wants us, and only we can fulfill it. My youngest and dearest son, I urge and firmly order you to go to the bishop again tomorrow. He already went to the bishop, and the bishop said, no, forget it. Tell him in my name and make him fully understand my intention that he start work on the chapel I'm requesting. Tell him again that I am the ever-Virgin Holy Mary, the Mother of God, who's sending you, so that he goes back to the bishop. The bishop says, if this is really the Mother of God, ask for a sign. I need some proof that this is real. So Mary says, okay, we'll give him a sign. That is fine, my youngest and dearest son. You'll return here tomorrow so that you may take the sign he asked for. Then he will believe and no longer doubt or be suspicious of you. And know, my dear son, I shall reward your care, work, and fatigue on my behalf. Go now. Tomorrow I shall be here waiting for you. Now, Juan Diego, the next day, was hoping he wouldn't run into the beautiful lady. He actually tried to sneak by where she might be hanging out on his way to see his uncle. But Mary intercepts him. What is happening, dearest and youngest of my sons? Where are you going? Where are you headed? Listen, put it into your heart, my youngest and dearest son, that the thing that disturbs you, the thing that afflicts you, is nothing. Do not let your countenance, your heart, be disturbed. Do not fear the sickness of your uncle or any other sickness or anything that is sharp or hurtful. And here's what I want you to really receive as a word from your mother, your heavenly mother, to you. Am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Ah, receive today a hug from your heavenly mother. You're in the crossing of her arms. She loves you dearly, and she wants very much to reveal to you him who is the source of all life. Do you need anything more? Well, we actually don't need anything more than to know the love of God. We don't need to know anything more or need anything more to know we're under the providential care of God, and that Mary is truly a mother to the human race. Mary is truly a mother to us. Let nothing else worry you or disturb you. Do not let your uncle's illness worry you, because he will not die now. You may be certain that he's already well. Go up, my dearest son, to the top of the hill, to where you saw me, and receive my directions, and you'll find flowers. Cut them, gather them, put them all together, then come down here and bring them before me. Now, this is so maternal. Juan Diego goes and picks the roses. They shouldn't be blooming in December. She brings them down. He brings them down in his cloak. He brings them to Mary. Mary arranges them in his cloak. I don't know if we've ever thought of her as the patron of flower arrangers, but she has a great reason for that title. So, my youngest and dearest son, these different kinds of flowers are the proof, the sign that you will take to the bishop. You will tell him from me that he is to see in them my desire, and therefore he is to carry out my wish, my will. And you, who are my messenger, in you I place my absolute trust. I strictly order you not to unfold your tilma, your cloak, or reveal its contents until you are in his presence. You will relate to him everything you very carefully, how I sent you to the top of the hill to cut and gather flowers, all you saw and marveled at in order to convince him so that he will then do what lies within his responsibility, so that my house of God, which I requested will be made, will be built. Well, you know what happens. Juan Diego's at the bishop's house again. He opens his cloak, and the flowers come tumbling out. But there's even a greater sign that Mary's giving. Her image is on the cloak, and it's still on the cloak 500 years later. His tilma or his cloak was made out of cactus fiber. It should have disintegrated within 5 or 7 years. So many tests have been done on the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and they can't figure out how that image got there, whether it was by radiation or they just don't know where it came from, how it got there, and why it's still there. And then the image itself is remarkable. From a distance, it looks like Mary is dark. Close up, she looks like she's lighter. And there was like a mixing of the races, the white and the Aztecs, the Spanish and the Aztecs. And this is Mary like as a bridge between the races. This is Mary, and she's actually dressed as an Aztec princess, and she has all kinds of symbolism in her garb that the Aztecs would recognize. And then she also has her hands like indicating that she's praying to God, that she's not a goddess herself, that she's worshiping the Creator and the Savior. And then she has a black band around her waist, which indicates that she's pregnant with Jesus, and she's bringing Jesus to these people. Well, in 7 years, from 1531 to 1538, 8 million Aztecs were baptized. Many of them had individual catechetical instruction. They knew what they were doing for the most part. And there was just a remarkable explosion of the gospel. At that time, Mexico City was the only diocese for all of North and South America. And it's a way in which the faith came to our continents. And Mary's amazingly wonderful mission for the evangelization of the new world using the instrument of Juan Diego. Juan Diego walked many miles each day to go to Mass. He himself is a saint now. His feast day is, I believe it's December 9th, right after the Immaculate Conception. And the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe is December 12th, which happens to be my birthday. And this is just an amazing thing that's happened. But it isn't just an amazing thing that's happened. It's something that's revealed to us, the loving heart of Mary for the littlest ones. And we're the littlest ones. She uses diminutives. Oh, little Mary, little Harry, little John, little Juanito, whatever her name is. She's speaking to us with tenderness, and she wants us to know that we're in the crossing of her arms and there's nothing else we need. She's got us. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Our Lady of Guadalupe, thank you and pray for us now and at the hour of our deaths. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.